Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I don't know what brings a tear to my eye more. Hearing Jerry Reed sing this song, and I'm not kidding, when I hear this song, I almost tear up. I have no idea why. Or knowing that Tim May is going to join us. I'm not sure which it is, Andy.
It's a little of both, Jeff. It's just.
Do you think it is?
Oh, of course, yes.
Well, all right. Well, Jerry Reed and Tim May joining us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tim writing for Letterman Row, covering everything there is to cover on Ohio State Athletics. Tim, good to have you with us.
Tim.
Glad to be here. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me take my mask off. Hello. Can you hear me better now?
A man's got to do what a man's got to do, Tim.
That's right.
Tim.
It's nice that we can sit in our produce. Wait a minute. Hold your breath in the produce section. That's the only tip I'm giving you today. Go ahead now.
It's not a bad idea, actually.
It's nice that we can all sit at home and talk to each other, right, Tim? Normally, you're the one who's at home. Now all three of us are at home talking.
Is that what we're doing? Yeah. I like this.
Yeah. Jeff's in his sewing room.
Yes. Before we get to the Buckeyes and the state of college athletics, how's the state of the golf game?
Be honest with you, and this is, well, I don't know why I wouldn't be honest with you. To be straight with you, I haven't played much golf because my wife reluctantly volunteered to babysit our grandson for the last several weeks while one of my sons and his wife came home. There have been some beautiful days to play golf the last several weeks, which I haven't gotten advantage of because if I just all of a sudden said, honey, hey, you watch Owen, I'm going out to play golf, there would be a mass mutiny, and it's on a ship of two. That's not good.
You know, they have seatbelts on golf carts. You always could just strap the kid in and hit the old I'm just saying, guys, don't look at me like I'm crazy.
You know what? I have broached I broached that idea and was shot down with a mere stare. So that's not going to fly. That's not going to fly.
Okay, I tried.
Yeah, you tried. It was a good idea.
Tim, you're an idea man, though. Andy, that's what I like about you.
I'm an idea man. That's why we're friends.
Idea man, Chuck. Tim, you wrote a story earlier in the week that I think it sums up everything that people are wondering about college athletics right now. Because we don't know, but it says inside Ohio State preparations planning for return to play models, and Gene Smith is going at it. What is the thinking of Gene Smith as, you know, no spring football? You're sitting here waiting for a word on how things might return and when things might return.
Here's what has impressed me about Gene Smith from the get-go is he was ahead of the curve to a certain extent on this whole COVID-19 threat, et cetera. You know, and he was kind of aghast that they were even talking about continuing with the Big Ten tournament, for example, and things like that. And, you know, he said, you always try to be a good member of whatever organization you're in. You're in the Big Ten, you're in the NCAA. But, you know, him being an associate vice president or whatever you want to call it, the university, he was in on a lot of the higher level talks about the COVID-19 threat well before it really hit the fan. So, you know, the story I wrote earlier this week was about how they've been trying to brainstorm or spitball and how they might get, you know, if they do get a green light, what that green light will mean. And, you know, and every week probably the plan changes because, you know, number one, you don't know when you're going to get the green light. Number two, you don't know what the green light, you know, is going to entail from the standpoint of restrictions of everybody wearing masks or not. Like, I got in a little bit of a Twitter back and forth with Billy Price, a former Buckeye, this week about, you know, why couldn't you play football with a mask on, you know? And think about it, in August and September, that would probably suck. But in December, there are guys that play with masks on when it's cold, so there you go. But the bottom line is there. It's not just about the players. It's about coaches. It's about the support personnel. And like they came up with, you know, essential personnel is going to be the key word, because who is essential around a pro football team or a college football team? Who do you absolutely have to have in day-to-day contact, hour-to-hour contact sometimes, with the players? And that will be as big a weeding out process as anything. And then how do you keep people either sort of semi-quarantined or in a situation where you can do contact tracing if, in fact, something comes up with somebody suddenly, you know, proving positive, testing positive, just like what happened with the president and his one of his valets, I guess, yesterday or day before yesterday. You know, who has that person been around, and et cetera. So it's not just as simple as opening the doors and people, like, you know, flooding in, you know, in a festival seating category. It's going to be a really interesting thing because and then you want all of the Big Ten, if in fact it dissolves into this just being an all Big Ten schedule this year for 1 year, you want all the Big Ten teams and programs to be on the same, in the same, reading from the same book as you are and doing the same things you are, especially, you know, road games and stuff. You know, where are you going to stay? Will you just make it a 1 day trip? You know, what are going to be the guarantees of having a semi sterile, locker room, et cetera, on road games and things like that. So it's not as simple as just snapping your fingers and playing, you know, let's play, you know, play ball, y'all come.
All right, two things here, Tim. One, you just gave me a great idea while you were talking about this, and I don't know if I've heard anybody talk about this yet. Why couldn't football players all go to shields? Why couldn't everybody wear a shield? It might be hard to hear. That's the only thing the only drawback on it.
Yeah, that's possible. They get hot. They get hot, though. And the other thing about football players, football, unlike any other sport, is there's contact on every play. I mean, every practice play, there's contact. Every real play, there's contact. You know, and the real problem with football is it's not the games so much. You practice every day, and you meet in meeting rooms every day. You know, I mean, throughout the rest of the week. And that's what has to be figured out is how safe will that be, and will everybody have to be tested every day before a meeting starts to make sure nobody's hot, so to speak? That's as big a problem as anything else. I think Ohio State has the capability, when I understand it, from the medical side, of pretty much doing a lot of testing per day if it comes to that. But like I said, the people you're playing have got to be following the same protocols.
Tim May joining us.
By the way, let me interrupt you. The idea I came up with about in the hot weather, how come Dry Fit can't figure out a mask for everybody to wear? You know, I mean, at least make it a little more comfortable. But, of course, the problem is Dry Fit is wicking, which takes the moisture away from your face and throws it out into the air. That's probably not what you want.
You're an idea man. We're all idea men in this conversation.
Well, but every idea, it's like the Wright brothers. Okay, if we put a motor on the back of these two things, what's going to happen? Well, you got to, if it doesn't create lift, you're going to go right into the ground at the end of the dead gum catapult, you know? So how do we make it go up in the air? That's the next question. And then how do we make it stay up in the air? That's the next question. So there's every great idea has to have somebody executing it and taking care of the fail safes.
Yeah, but you know the beauty of that? For all the video that we saw of flight before it happened, and you saw all those planes try to take off with like four or five level of wings that ended up crashing to the ground, somehow, some way, we figured out how to get it done, didn't we? They figured it out.
But then this is what's funny, though, about that is they figured out almost the most crude way to get it done, and it came along because, you know, they wanted to warp their wings when they turned. Well, can you imagine a 780, you know, an Airbus 380 or something warping its wings to turn instead of, like, having ailerons and things like that? So the Wright brothers figured out how to get you in the air and keep you up there, but But then it took other people to figure out how to really get you up there and take a lot of people with you, et cetera, you know, with better designs and stuff. But you're right. I mean, I'd take a crude vaccine right now over, you know, over anything else, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Welcome to Aviation History Hour. Aviation History Hour here on Baskin and Phelps with Tim May, our aviation expert. Hey, James Franklin at Penn State said something that Andy and I kicked around earlier, Tim, when we were just chatting before the show. And he said, I can't see a conference penalizing 80% of the teams if 80% are good to go and a couple can't play. Could that mean, and would you agree, conferences, hey, you can't play this week, you guys get a forfeit or whatever in a conference schedule, or completely revamping a schedule to make it work?
You know, you're going to get answers to that in June and July, because there are going to be, I mean, the SEC has put out the same smoke signals, you know, Southeastern Conference teams have. You know, and then you're getting mixed signals, like Oregon, you know, had some kind of I think the University of Oregon had some kind of missive a week or so ago about how they plan to open in the fall. And then you see the Oregon governor, you know, at LettermanRow.com, Austin Ward wrote about that this morning. The Oregon governor said, you know, basically you can't have mass crowds until you have some kind of vaccine available or whatever. So you're getting mixed messages from, you know, from all kinds of different areas. But, you know, I can understand where James Franklin is coming from. If you can make it safe, and safe is the right word. I mean, in essence, you almost have to make it jeopardy-free, or as jeopardy-free as you can make it. If you can make it for 80% of the teams, if, you know, 12 of the teams, but two of them can't do it, you penalize the other 12 and make them not play, you know? That's a good question. I think you play, you know? That's what I think, because this train is going to keep on moving whether you're on it or not. Now, I don't think you'd be stupid about it, but I think he brings up a valid point. I think it's where you're going to see, you know, like I said, Gene Smith likes to be as an athletic director at Ohio State, he likes for Ohio State to be a good member of, like, the Big Ten. Whatever the Big Ten decides, you go along with it, because let's face it, Ohio State means a lot more to the Big Ten from a standpoint of TV revenue, et cetera, than probably, well, definitely than Northwestern or Purdue or Indiana or somebody. I'm talking about from football standpoint. But you are part of an organization. And the big question is, what if the NFL ends up like that? What if the NFL ends up with, like, 28 teams signing off, but four teams going, we can't do this, you know? I'm not sure what would happen there, but that's the question they're going to face, I think, in June, early July, because you got to keep kicking this can down the road a little bit as far as making a decision, because things are going to be so much different. You're going to see if, in fact, these people go to these easy openings or whatever, reopenings, whatever they're calling it. You're going to see whether or not there's going to be a resurgence as far as the virus goes. And I keep reminding people, you know, the best example I saw of this is, you know, they've plateaued and or started down in a lot of places, but sometimes the toughest thing to do is to climb. The toughest thing to do other than climbing Mount Everest is to come back down the mountain, you know, and when you're thinking of your home free, and you're not. And you can have a bounce back of this thing the way they're describing it. The more infectious, it's maybe not the most infectious viral infection out there that you've ever seen. So I just think there's so many more questions that need to be answered before you can really go down that line. But to answer your question, I think you could see some teams bolting a little bit and saying, well, hey, we got 80%. We got a quorum here. Let's play some football.
But I got a ton of questions for you, Tim. First of all, Jim Harbaugh proposing one and done. I want to get into that, but I also think that we're sitting here in this stage where everyone's reevaluating all their athletic programs and what can move forward and what can't move forward. And I mean, I'm really concerned, and I've been saying this for as soon as it happened, I'm really concerned about Olympic sports at almost all the schools. It's just your thoughts on that.
Bottom line is, I was talking to some, you know, some insiders, like when I wrote in that story the other day, and as this one guy said, you know, if you don't have football in the fall, you can't have tennis in the spring. You know, you can't have necessarily golf or something, because football is the lead dog on this dog sled team. I mean, without a doubt. And you've got to have the revenue coming in. That's the thing a lot of these major college football programs, they're going to face big hits financially, probably no matter what, from this. And it takes money to run these programs. You know, forget about the coaches' salaries. It's all the other stuff, too. And so you can't have one, really, without the other. We're going to find out what came first, the chicken or the egg. I think you're going to find out it was the football chicken.
Tim, you think we're going to have college football this fall? What's your gut tell you?
Except in Mississippi where they play the Egg Bowl. What was the question?
Does your gut tell you we're going to have college football this fall or not?
Yeah, I think you are. I wrote a story like several weeks ago, proposing that thinking that the cleanest way to get this done, like I just told you, the difference, you know, between the University of Oregon and the Oregon governor, the cleanest way to get this done would be for 1 year, the major conference, the Power Five, go to an all conference schedule, which was going to scare the heck out of the SEC, I'm sure, but go to an all conference schedule, you know, maybe 10 games, because they all have at least 12 members, except for the Big 12, ironically, which doesn't have 12 members. But you could add Notre Dame and, say, BYU. They could join in that conference just for 1 year for scheduling purposes, where you'd have 12 teams. You play 10 games. You know, if you want to play a conference championship game, you can, or figure that out. But you declare a champion. And then, in my opinion, this 1 year, you could have an eight-team playoff, college football playoff, where the first four games are played on college campuses, like as it's been proposed by many people through the years, and then the semifinals and finals would go off where they're scheduled. And I think that can make it work for 1 year. That way you could have eight teams of five Power Five conference champions plus three at-larges, and if you saw where Cincinnati or somebody deserved to be in it, you could put them in it. So you could take care of that other hot team, too, in a conference where maybe the two teams didn't play each other. So that would be a way, definitely, to get it done. And I'm hearing that the Big Ten has even talked about that now recently, just spitballing, obviously, not coming up with a cement plan. But I think all the major conferences have to be thinking about that, because the one thing you can do as a conference is, like I said, you can set protocol in place that certain things have to be certain ways for the visiting team, and, you know, five at home, five on the road, and for 1 year you get through it. And, you know, the TV networks will be there. But, guys, what you're facing, what people don't realize what you're facing in the fall is you're facing maybe a big drop in TV revenue, because, you know, if you're CBS, you're going to show the Masters when they play, right? I mean, all these sports are going to be trying, you know, the NBA. I mean, all these sports may come online all at the same time. It's going to be crazy maybe in September or October. So I think that's going to be as big a story as anything else this year.
Tim, always a pleasure. Thank you, buddy.
It's always a pleasure, Tim, doing business with you fellas. Baskin and Phelps.
Always.
One guy aspired to be an Olympian. The other guy's the most rewarded Olympian in history. So there you go. That's who I'm on with every day.
Awesome.
There you go.
Tim May from Letterman Row. Thank you, Timmy, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.